This morning we're going to look at these passages in Acts. And that we read this morning, Acts chapter 20, verse 6. And in this passage, we're looking at, I'm a little bit, it seems like my message is confused with this last week's, like the title. I had a title in there and I think my computer swapped it over and put it. How many of you like computers? It's like I had a message title in there, and somehow it seems to put the one from last week in there. So I'm sitting there trying to figure out what was my title for this week. All right, I think it actually is the right text, though. That's the important thing, that what I'm wanting to say is actually in my notes. But the idea of take advantage of opportunities. Last week it was take advantage of opportunities to encourage others. This week, take advantage of opportunities to hear the word. Take advantage of opportunities to hear the word. Took me a minute to get that into my brain to remember what it was. But we talked a little last week about what our last message might be to our family. What we might say to our family if it was the last time that we would be able to speak to them. It's interesting that in the last message to the people in Troas, we are not really given the content of the message. So as we look at Paul going to Troas and spending the time there, we hear about him speaking and the things that happened that came about while he was speaking, but we're not giving any information about what he really said other than what we talked about last week, the idea of exhorting the brothers and the idea of making them steadfast in the faith. But we're not really given anything about what he said. And there are many different takes on this passage. If you listen to different messages on this passage, there are a lot of different things that are said. And so it says he was there 7 days. He probably arrived on a Monday and left on a Monday. He probably stayed. We know that he left because he was preaching on the Lord's Day and that he was leaving the next day. We know he left on a Monday. He probably arrived on a Monday. I kind of think that if, as I've read through this section, if Paul would have arrived on Saturday, he probably would have left the next Monday. I think he just wanted to spend the Lord's Day with the people, with the church in Troas, and then he wanted to get on his way. Paul, at this point, we'll see later on in chapter 20 that Paul was on a mission. He was heading to Jerusalem, and he wanted to stop and encourage these churches, but he didn't want to spend a lot of time either. He just wanted to keep moving. He had a goal in mind where he's heading. So the reason he didn't get there by the Lord's Day was in verse 6, it says, "And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days. And we abode there 7 days." The last time he made that trip going from Troas to Philippi, it took only 2 days. So it's obvious that the sailing was not as, probably the winds were against them, contrary to them. And so a trip that on the way to Philippi took 2 days, and now it takes 5 days to get back. And so probably if you'd have been there in that, like I said, on time, if the trip would have taken 3 days or something like that, he probably would have preached and then been gone. But he stays 7 days, I believe, so that he could spend the time with the church on the Lord's Day. It says in verse 7, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, on Monday, and continued his speech until midnight." So the practice of the early church was to meet. By this time, it was established that they would meet on the Sunday, on the first day of the week. It had already probably become a standard practice in most churches for them to meet on Sunday. John in Revelation 1:10 would later call it the Lord's Day. And that's how why we often call it the Lord's Day today. It's John's instruction about the Lord's Day. It is the day when Christian churches traditionally meet. Today, that's just become standard, that Sunday is when churches come together to meet. It also says that in verse 7, first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. The disciples here is in reference to the people in the church in general. You know, as a young kid, I always thought the disciples were just the apostles, the disciples that followed Jesus. And I think that's due to some of the Sunday school teaching that we might have had as young kids. So for a long time, I always just thought the disciples means the apostles, the 12. You know, that's what I always thought the disciples meant. But here, the meaning of the word is just basically that they were committed learners. They were being taught. Often teachers would have students. They were called disciples. And so these disciples here are just those people that are dedicated to learning about Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, about the Word of God. Notice also that they came together to break bread. And this is a reference to the fact that they are going to have communion during that service. Often in the early church, they had communion every time they met. That's what most people believe they did, that every Sunday they would partake of communion. Now, there's nothing in the Bible that tells us exactly how often we should have communion. But later on, it talks about them in verse 11, says, when he had therefore was come up again and he had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while. I believe that's talking about a meal. So they break bread, they have communion during the service, and then later on, they share a meal together. And often in the early church, they did both every Sunday. They would have a meal together, and they would take communion together every single meal. Some people say, well, then we should take communion every week, because that's what the early church did. Well, then we should have a meal every week too, because that's what the early church did. And if you want to take it, if you want to go too far with that, then you look at this passage, and we know what this early church did. They met until midnight. And not just midnight, they met all night long, because we later find out they were still meeting at the break of day. So we have to be careful what types of things we decide to make an exact what God wants us to do based upon Acts, because it is what many people would call formative. The church was being formed, and the epistles tell us more exactly how we are to live as Christians and how we're to operate as a church. In the book of Acts, the church was being formed, and not everything was standard, maybe you say standard operating procedure. Although we can get biblical, we'd obviously get biblical truths from the book of Acts. So the service they had, they broke bread. It also says that Paul preached in verse 7 unto them. So it was a service where there was preaching and breaking of bread. So verse 7 tells us what they did. They partook of communion and Paul preached. It also tells us that their time together on this trip was limited. I mean, Paul was leaving the next day. Probably this is the first time the whole church had been able to get together on this Sunday evening. And so the time together was limited. Paul was there, but their time was limited. What made this service special was the limited time they had to spend with the Apostle Paul. I mean, just think about it. Apostle Paul's coming through town. He's going to be gone tomorrow. We need to spend as much time as possible. I mean, the early church, they didn't have the complete Word of God like we have. Where did they learn most of what they understood about the Word of God? From guys like the Apostle Paul. And so when he was there, it was important that they spend as much time as possible learning what God would want from them. So he'd only been there a week, and it seems to indicate that this was probably the only meeting of the whole assembly during that time. And there's probably, you know, probably some of them are thinking, why can't you stay longer, Paul? Why can't you stay and teach us for a longer period of time? But Paul's on a mission. He's heading back. Part of the thing he's doing, he's taking the collection for the saints in Jerusalem. So as we learned earlier in verse number 4, he has this whole delegation with him, delegation probably coming from all the churches that had given money, and they're now heading back to Jerusalem to give this gift to the churches gift from the churches to the church in Jerusalem. And so part of his goal is just to take this gift. There's people in need, and he wants to be there in Jerusalem to get that gift to those people. But this makes the limited time even more important. So let me ask you a question. Is there anyone who you would be excited to hear if they're going to be speaking in our area? Just think of that. Is there anyone that you kind of look to and think, boy, if they were speaking in our area, I would want to go. I would want to hear them. You know, it may be a sign of our times that there are not many great men who would attract a crowd like others in the past. It may just be a sign of our times. It seems like those who gather great crowds today are kind of on the, I don't know about them side. How many of you remember as a child going to a Billy Graham meeting in the high school or something? Anybody? Oh, nobody? Wow, I did. When I was a kid, I remember going to more than one Billy Graham meetings in the high. I think there was, I remember one going to one in the junior high in our town, and I remember one going to one in our high school after that was built. And Billy Graham was one of those figures that went across the country and gathered great crowds wherever he went. People stopped what they were doing and went to see him. In the past, there were many men like that, many evangelists who people would travel, Billy Sunday and others who people would travel to go see. And they, if they're in the area, they just made it a, it was just, that's what they were going to do. Now, I don't want to go, we're not going to talk about Billy Graham's past and what he ended up doing, but I'm just, the idea that people wanted to hear him. Of course, what would we do if, I mean, I know this is impossible, but how many Christians would be super excited if they found out, oh, the Apostle Paul's still alive and he's traveling through and he's going to stop in Lima and he's going to preach. How many of us would really want to go to hear the Apostle Paul? I think every Christian would just want to go and hear the Apostle Paul. Guess what? You can hear the Apostle Paul speaking in many churches today across the United States through the Word of God, because he wrote much of the New Testament, and Holy Spirit inspired words that Paul wrote are still being preached across the country. And I think we sometimes forget that. How many of you recognize names like C.H. Spurgeon or D.L. Moody? I mean, wouldn't you just love to have been able to go to, what was it, Metropolitan Tabernacle? I think that's what it's called. I could be wrong. Wouldn't you have just loved to have gone and heard D.L. Moody or C.H. Spurgeon? Why? Let me ask you a question. Anybody know this? Why are preachers of the past, why are their names abbreviated so much? C.H. Spurgeon, D.L. Moody. I don't know if that's, I only know Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I don't know D.L. Moody. I don't know who D.L. Moody is. I don't know his name. But anyway, I mean, there are people in the past that you would travel for a long ways to be able to go see him. Why were these Christians in Troas willing to stay up all night to hear the preaching of Paul? All night long. These Christians in Troas understood the urgency of the message and the importance of the messenger. Why is this recorded for us? Why doesn't he give us the message? This passage is often preached to declare to the congregation that you need to sit hours and hours to pastoral preaching, that you need to be willing to sit no matter how long the pastor preaches. That's been preached that way in the past. I don't think that's the real point of the message, that we need to preach for hours. You're probably thankful. I've had the opportunity to go on numerous mission. I have not had the opportunity to go on numerous missions trips. I've been basically on one real missions trip. We went to Nicaragua. But I've talked to other people that have gone on mission trips where they go to some place in, say, Africa. And I remember talking to one pastor who had been asked to come to Africa on a missions trip, and he goes to speak. And he speaks his normal half-hour, 40-minute message and goes and sits down. And the pastor that's there looks at him and says, no, get up. Preach more. And he's thinking, well, I've just preached my normal message. I've preached for, half hour, 40 minutes. And he's like, no, our people want more. And so he's encouraged to speak for another hour or 2 hours more. Because the people are like, no, we walked for hours to get here, and we want to hear the word of God. And there was a difference in the way those people looked at it. And he's like, well, I can't imagine me. And he's like, what? You want me? I'd be like, you want me to speak for another 2 hours? Boy, I didn't bring that many notes with me. What am I going to speak on for 2 more hours? But these people just had a desire to hear the word. Churches in the States are just the opposite. One church we went to on deputation, I don't remember if it was deputation or we were back on furlough. We went there on a Wednesday evening. And this was a big church with a lot of programs going on, and I was told an exact minute to be done. They said, you speak until this minute and not a second longer, and you have to be done. And I get up there to speak, and I didn't have a watch on. And though it's not like here, we have a watch in the pulpit that doesn't work anyway. Nobody's changed the battery in who knows how long. Somebody wanted to make sure the pastor knew what time it was, and they installed this watch. Whoever it was must have left the church because the watch isn't working anymore. Then somebody else decided we need that big clock on the back wall so that the pastor can clearly see what time to be finished. Well, this church was like, you have to be done at this time. And I got up there, I started speaking, I'm looking around, no clock. I look in the pulpit, no, and I don't have a watch on. And I'm like, I said, I'm sorry, but I was told to be done at a certain time. And the pastor wasn't even there. He was off doing something else. I said, I don't have a watch or any way to tell time. And you would be amazed how quickly 3 or 4 guys got up and were taking off their watches to make sure I had the proper time so that I would be done at the right time. That's how important it was at that church. You were done at this moment. I remember another time where we were at a church. I love this church. Guess what state it is in? Michigan. And it's not only in Michigan, it's in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Which is even, greater because they have snow and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, that has nothing to do with it. But we were in this missions conference where they had many things scheduled throughout the service. And one thing we were told, we were going to give you, I forget what it was, 10 minutes to talk about your ministry in this place. And you had different time slots throughout the week. But the pastor said, because we have so many things go on every night, they had special music, they had missionaries presentation, they had so many different things going on, then they had a guy preaching, you have to be done in this amount of time. It's not that they had a short service. It was a midweek service, and I think those services were about an hour and a half. So it's not like it was a short service. It's just, we are keeping our people out late, so you really need to take the time. So I got up there, I made sure I was done on time, because I knew the pastor. And it's like, this is a pastor where we went on a hayride, a sleigh hayride behind horses, and one missionary lady who wasn't too bright, the guys started throwing each other off into the snow that was about this deep and playing around with each other and throwing each other off. And this lady, she's in a dress. She says, nobody would dare throw me off. Guess what? Poof. She was off that sleigh in just a couple of, she not very smart. Anyway, that's the type of church this was. This is a real church. Anyway, so I knew all of a sudden I'm watching and this guy's going, he's like 2 minutes over. And I could just see the pastor. It's like, nope. He gets up, walks up, says, thank you, you're done. And he just pulled him off the platform. Guess what? I know that guy didn't get no support from that church. Because there was a time frame. But they had a time frame because their service was already longer than most people would want to stay probably on a weeknight. So, you know, people in North America are slaves to that thing right up on the wall. We're slaves to the clock. And I'm not saying in our culture, yeah, sometimes we have to be. I mean, when it's time to go to work, you should be to work on time. I mean, I understand that. There are things that we have to be a slave to the clock, but we are bound to following its ticking. I mean, tick, 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 and we have to follow that. Every second must be accounted for. And at times, if the preaching goes a few minutes past, I see people do this at times. It's like, and then they look up at that clock. And it's like, must be my watch isn't working right, because I look at my watch and it says that it's past time. So then I've got to check the main clock to maybe that one's off, because we are slaves to time. The problem is some of us have food in the oven, and the most important, a nap or maybe a football game or whatever it is. And here I am speaking about the length of the sermon when I said I didn't think it was about the length of the sermon, because that's not what I'm speaking about. What's the point here that I'm getting across? Our priorities. Many people just have other priorities when it comes to preaching the word or listening to the preaching of the word. If there's anything that I can use as an excuse not to go to church or not be there, I'm going to pull it out. Is there anything I want more than being at church? Ask a personal question. Why are you so worried about time when it comes to being at church? Why are you so worried about time when it comes to being at church? Let me say this. There are times when the message is more important than the hour. There are times when the message is more important than the clock. There's times when we should be punctual for the sake of other plans, and there are times when the message is more important than the clock. The people in Troas probably all had responsibilities the next day. Let me explain something to you. They didn't have, most of them did not have Sunday off like many people have today. Sunday wasn't a day that many people have off. Sunday was just another day like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So most people had to work. Many of the new early church were slaves. Different type of slave than what we think of, because slaves there had some freedom to go about town and do different things when they weren't scheduled to be at work at their master's house, but slaves nonetheless. And probably most slaves of these, most many of these people had worked all day on Sunday. Why did they have an evening service? Because people worked all day on Sunday, then they went to church in the evening. Some people say, well, man, if he preached at midnight and they started at 12 o'clock, wow, that's a long sermon. No, probably, who knows what time people got off work, but probably by when most people got off work, maybe 5, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock maybe, when they were able to get there, when the majority of people are able to get there, Paul started preaching. Say Paul started preaching at 7 o'clock. He's been preaching for 5 hours when Eutychus falls out the window. Possibly, I don't know, maybe it was 8 o'clock. We don't know. But the people stayed there, and they had just worked all day. And not only that, guess what they had to do the next day? They had to go back to work. They couldn't go home and say, well, I'm gonna sleep in to the next day. Some of them might have been able to. Some of them might have been rich enough where they could go home and sleep in. But most of them had to go back and go to work the next day. Yet the passage says that they not only stayed till midnight when Eutychus falls out the window and Paul raises him from the dead. Now, Paul raising him from the dead really just accentuates Paul's authority. Because who else had raised somebody from the dead? Jesus in the New Testament and Peter and now Paul. And so that basically, I think Luke records this just to show that Paul is on the same level, not as Jesus, but as Peter, as an apostle, and shows his authority. But the point I want to get across today is the clock or my time more important than the message? When it comes to not only the morning worship service, but other services. In other words, are my priorities, are the things that I have planned, we only have so many hours in a week, are the things that I have planned more important than the message? Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, as we see the days getting worse, and we see that the Lord's return might be soon, we don't back off from spending time together as Christians. We strive to spend even more time together. There are times when the message is more important than the hour, than the clock on the wall. Lord, I pray that you'd help us today as we continue on in our service. I pray that you'd help us to see that at times we make the clock or we make other activities that take up our time, we make them more important than the message from your word. And Lord, I know that I am not the Apostle Paul. But Lord, it's not me, it's your word that we're here to hear. Lord, as I try to faithfully bring forth the truths in your word, we're here for the message. For the word of God, not for the messenger. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as Christians to realize that sometimes we get it mixed up. And we're more worried about the clock than we are at the message. And by that time, when we're in that place, then none of these things are going to be, we're just going to blow past the rest of the message by the time we get that distracted. So I pray that you'd help us to realize that your word is the most important thing. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.